Photography. Starting out.
You know what, I was just thinking about this morning, camera-less photographs. So if you have a piece of photographic paper and you put an object on it and shine light on it, then it leaves an impression on the paper. And I remember finding a box of photographic paper when I was about 8 or 9 and being fascinated with putting things on it and leaving it in the sun.
I first started messing around with digital photography using mobile phones, just because it was the easiest and most accessible form of digital photography. And then from there, I realized that the images weren't always the best quality, so from there I kind of fell into learning how to clean up digital images and how to work and manipulate the images that I saw. And then you realize that you're working with all this raw information, and there are so many tools out there to develop this into your own artistic aesthetic or towards a purpose, whether it's graphic design. But yeah, it started with mobile phones, and it just progressed from there. I'm still relatively new into the field. It's only been in the last few months that I've actually started looking around to see like the top examples of digital photography. Up until now, the people that I've followed mostly have been the guys that have been out there using tools like GIMP, Photoshop, and to a lesser extent Blender, who've been going out there getting their digital images and showing how to work with them in a digital workflow. So it's kind of guys that you see writing the tutorials on Worth 1000 or on PSD Tuts, things like that. At the moment, it's kind of hard to pin down any one particular thing. Right now, I love everything digital photography, digital imaging based. I know that's a really wide way to throw your net, but yeah, there's so many things out there. Every time I'm exposed to something new, I want to go off and learn it, or I want to know a bit of background about it. At the moment, I'm kind of taken with light painting, but at the moment it's coming into autumn, so I'm thinking about landscapes. It's going to be getting dark soon, so I want to think about rigging a camera for infrared photography and do some star shots, I don't know. But I don't have anything, one particular thing at the moment. It's everything.
The first camera I was given, I remember it was like a little Kodak compact camera, which kind of folds out. And when we went on school trips, instead of writing letters home, because I hated writing, I think about, we had to write a letter home to our parents, and my letter home was something like, "It's nice, John," something like that. But then I took loads of pictures on the trip. I guess it was that idea of being able to express yourself in a visual medium, being very bad at expressing myself in a written medium. That was the earliest kind of memories I have of photography.
I would like to go to a desert someplace, possibly Mexico. Somewhere where there's very little light pollution and there's landscapes that I'm totally unfamiliar with. I've never been in a desert or never stood there and watched some of the weird atmospheric effects that I've heard described and seen captured in some images. I would really like to do that.
So I'm interested in photographers who have a story to say or a message to communicate, not just a pretty picture of something, but they're using it as an expression, kind of like a visual essay, if you like. First photographers I discovered who I was interested in that were people like Bert von Sleten, Nan Golden, who shoots in colour, but was definitely making a statement with her work. I'd like to work with Simon Norfolk, the photographer. He's actually going to be speaking in Scotland next week for the Scottish Society's annual lecture. Shoots on large format cameras, so I'm interested in the formality of the process he uses to capture. But I also like his storytelling as well. He photographs in war zones, but instead of photographing the kind of the blood and guts of the aftermath, he'll go and photograph in a very controlled way. So it's just interesting questions about society, but communicated in a more thoughtful. The visual communication element is really important for me. Landscapes shaped by people, places connected with people, but with some story aspect to communicate in it. I spent some time in Colombia in 2007, and I'd really like to go back. Some of the stories and the people I met were doing really interesting things, working for the Franciscans on social psychology projects. And some of the stories I heard of people, they sounded so amazing that I would really love to go and document some of the people mentioned or the experiences of. For example, there was a woman who lived in a city, I think it was just outside of Bogota, and she has an open house for prostitutes, drug addicts, people kind of rejected by society, but have somehow ended up in this one place, and she kind of looks after them, kind of like a Mother Teresa kind of figure. But it's thought to be really interesting to spend some time there and not necessarily go in and photograph and make judgment, but maybe do some like art engagement projects where you do some photography lessons, give people cameras and help them express themselves, and then maybe enable some kind of exhibition from that, or make a making of the kind of stuff which would come out, something like that.
To take this a bit more seriously than just, you know, party snaps and pictures when you're out or pictures of your cats. And it was a picture taken when I was down on a woodland walk nearby, and it was just pure fluke. Managed to capture a picture of the sun coming through trees, and it was this beautiful abstract starburst in green. It's actually quite hard to tell exactly what you're looking at, but it was still a really good picture. I really enjoy that. It stands out in my mind. It was like, wow, check this out.
Post-production.
There's a large degree of technical ability that has to go with both. I don't have that level of photographic technical ability yet. And plus, the focus of my work is probably going to take me down a path where I'll be very unlikely to use just the raw picture file. So I will be locked into a digital workflow, and I love that. Between film photography and digital photography, programs like Photoshop are there to emulate some of the old processes that were available in film, which give effects which are still really useful and relevant for digital photographers. So no, I don't think it's lessened the skill level of out-of-the-box photography. If anything, it's there as an enhancement, and there to bring out new levels of your ability. I'm all for using programs like Photoshop. Fantastic if you can get the picture right first time, absolutely superb, but no, post-production is vital.
Print and then output without, you know, going close to working. If you think about earlier photographers, the godfather of street photography, Henri Cartier-Bresson, his kind of work, when he showed it, would deliberately leave the frame, show it hasn't been manipulated, in the sense that you could still do manipulations in the darkroom, you could crop, edit, move things around. And so, kind of interesting, that idea of that doesn't really exist at all today. You would never believe an image as being truer to itself by not being manipulated. You wouldn't have a way of expressing. Yeah, I guess everything's, the photography we see in the media is definitely being retouched, but it still exists. I'd go as far as saying a revolution of not just in a technical process, but in the way people engage with photograph practice.
The easy availability of software, and again, your digital photography now is covering the scope from mobile phones right up to £3,000 DSLRs, which means with the accessibility, you're going to see a dilution of the overall skill level within the pool of photographers. I don't think there's a doubt about that. There's now more amateurs and there's more newbies and beginners than there ever has been. But again, with a digital workflow and with the processes that are available there, you can skill up really pretty fast. Stuff that would have taken you ages in the past, you're taking your negatives, developing them, working with your chemicals, and then turning around and realising you're not getting the effect you wanted. All that's been vastly simplified now by the use of digital technology and the programmes.
Community.
Communities which share images and critique Flickr, how many millions of people are subscribed to that, you know, ranging quality of the material produced on. I think a lot of individual excellent photographs, but maybe people don't really understand the visual communication, the language that they're using so much, or I'd be more interested in seeing people doing like photo essays, a series which is more watertight, which has something to communicate than just one-off great bit of sunset or something. These are all really exciting things, and the output, you know, surprises people, and maybe they definitely think of it outside of just photographic practice. I mean, it's an engagement with other people, you know, it could be social commentary as well.
in any kind of like professional discipline, especially the artistic ones, there's always a sort of divide between the guys that have been at this for 15, 20 years, and they have a level of technical ability and artistic ability that, you know, is really quite considerable. But with the advent of cheap digital imaging technology and software to support that for post-production, yeah, I think it's fantastic that that it has become that accessible. Sure, there's going to be the people that are like, oh, there's all these new guys coming in. But at the end of the day, that's what keeps a field vital. It keeps it alive. Influx of new talent, the technology to support that talent, to give presumably better results at the end of it.
Starter kits.
You know, thinking it's never the out of camera, but it never really met my expectation. It broke on travels, it just felt a bit clunky. And then using the digital ones, the 60Ds, I'm not a big fan of those at all. Whereas I find the entry level Canons have much more intuitive menu. The menus in the entry level 1000D is very similar to the 1D series. So a £4,000 camera, £350 camera, they don't discriminate against you for going in at this level. You've got an intuitive menu without having to lots of different nested folders as the Nikons seem to have. Having said that, Nikons obviously have great optics. They shoot really well in low light, etc. Super fast, but for learning, then definitely Canon.
For starter kit with DSLR, I would recommend looking at Canon's entry level models from the 1000 up. I chose a 550D, so I would have the extra video capability, but it's probably not going to be within the budget of somebody that's just starting out. That's a purchase that I've made as an investment. I would also recommend the Nikon D5000. It's another camera like the Canons that has live view, which is incredibly useful, and it's giving you really high performance, high quality pictures, plus obviously supporting kit, things like a prime lens. These aren't too expensive to replace either, and in both these cases, with the Canon EOSs and the Nikons, they do come with kit lenses as well, so most of your needs will be satisfied with a good quality gear setup right there.
I'm not invested particularly in one platform or the other. I like this platform, I'm used to it, I like using it, I have no reason to go elsewhere unless something comes by, which it doesn't do very well at the minute. I'm quite happy with it.
I mean, I love my Canon, there's absolutely no doubts about that, but I was so close to buying a D5000, a Nikon D5000. The guys in the shop and the reviewers on DP Review, a highly recommended website, they give these cameras really high marks, really high scores. So really it's going to come down to the user having to, you know, make some pretty tough decisions based on what they're planning on shooting, what their overall aims and objectives are. But for the most part, I just don't really have the experience to be able to pick a site there.
Tips and tricks.
Start with dpreview.com and then go and speak to people in camera shops. Now, Canon have a slight thing with independent shops where they don't give the discounts to the independent shops in the same way that they do with chains like Jessup's. So with independent shops, you're probably going to find yourself more pushed towards buying Nikons. That was my experience anyway. But I would strongly recommend reading. There's plenty of forums, but you will probably get drawn into the religious war between Canons and Nikons. And while these guys have a lot of experience and they know what they're talking about, for a beginner, for somebody that's just new into digital SLRs, it's more noise than signal. You won't get really much out of that. So I would recommend dpreview.com and then go and speak to guys in independent camera shops, and then talking to guys in some of the bigger chains as well, like Jessup's.
And my advice would be get yourself on like web communities like Flickr, blogging platforms like Tumblr, and start engaging with other people. Post your work, peer critique. You know, you can subscribe to so many interesting people on these sites. There's a whole world of interesting art. And then on a more local scale, if you want to get engaged with stuff in Edinburgh, there's like the camera club at Stills. They set projects every month and you can go along, show work if you want to, or just get involved with a community to try and re-engage with my photographic practice, which seemed to have slipped when I've been doing teaching and having to make money. But noncomplacent.com. We'll be right back.
Special thanks to John Morrison, Carl Nair, Catherine Downs, and Charlotte Masson.